Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, welcome to the White Riot Show, back after a two-week hiatus. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And the infamous Judo Larry M.
There you go, coming at you strong after taking 2 weeks off. This is the White Riot Show, where we're going to cover all the latest topics of the last 2 weeks. Since, you know, if you've been following us on Twitter, and I'll give you the pimping information later.
That's it. You got to do the pimping very quickly.
We got to go to Twitter.com/White Riot Show, Facebook.com/White Riot Show, YouTube.com/White Riot Show, or you could just go to WhiteRiotShow.com. You'll see all our comments and anything that we have to say during the week in between broadcasts. But don't forget, you could also subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher.com for the latest podcasts. You could also just listen to us right there in our Twitter stream or on our Facebook page. So, you know, at the end of the day, the pimping, Judo Larry M., is that you can listen to us just about anywhere.
Anywhere that you can reach out in social media.
That's right.
That's where the White Riot is.
We're very big on Twitter, having legitimate journalists, authors. Even cute girls are starting to follow the White Riot Show.
We got hot libertarians following us.
Yeah, why not?
Real journalists following us.
Sure.
Everybody's following the riot.
Absolutely. The riot is awesome.
And don't forget the tens of thousands in the Middle East.
And the Middle East and India, of course, who love the riot. We welcome everyone. If you're a fan of freedom, you're a fan of the White Riot Show and vice versa. We love liberty. We love freedom.
We love the Constitution.
God bless the Constitution.
Unlike the president.
Speaking of God blessing the Constitution, Judo Larry M.
Yes.
I heard something, and I know you're heavily into religion, so I'll let you comment.
about as heavily as I'm into soccer.
Yeah, that Nazi Pope decided to resign.
Oh, my God. Are you calling him a Nazi because he's German? Shame on you.
No, I'm calling him a Nazi because he was in the Hitler Youth when he was a kid.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
He's the perfect Catholic.
Yeah. He was in the Hitler Youth, but he resigned. First pope in 600 years or so to resign.
He resigned?
You didn't hear? Are you serious? You didn't hear this?
From the Hitler Youth?
You fucking asshole. You had me going. No, he resigned.
So stupid. Yeah,
yeah.
Fall for that.
I know.
Was he really in the Hitler Youth?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, no, seriously.
I mean, I know he resigned.
Yeah, no, he. This came up when he, you know, when the white cloud of smoke came out of the Vatican, when he got elected.
I was going to say, isn't it black smoke, though?
No, wait.
It depends on what they're smoking.
I think black means they can't make up their minds, and white means they came to a decision.
No, white is Panama red, and black is black tar heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
So he's out.
He's out.
Because he's old and sick?
No, well, he just said he can't continue anymore. And who knows? There may be a cover-up. Maybe he's, like, really on sliding out of health or losing his mind.
Well, I think he's just old and he's...
But isn't it funny? You know, I was thinking about the Pope, and I'm not Catholic, you know that. But, you know, the previous Pope, Pope John Paul II,
yeah.
Now, there was a great man. I considered him to be part of the triumvirate of liberty in the
80s. Oh, yeah. He had Reagan.
He had Reagan.
Yeah.
Thatcher.
Thatcher.
And Pope John Paul II.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
And what did he do as a kid? He saved thousands of Jews from being exterminated by Nazis in his native Poland.
This is an interesting contrast with the current Pope.
That's what I'm saying. Think about how this... I never really thought about it, but think about it this way.
On two different sides of the handoff.
This guy... Exactly. This guy was helping Jews do... He did what he could to help Jews either survive or escape in his native Poland.
Right.
Then when he did become Pope, what did he do? He was the most traveled Pope in history.
Oh, absolutely.
Visited all those countries. He had outreaches to Jews, Muslims, Orthodox Christians, Protestants, everything. He really moved it. I mean, yes, he was still very much dogmatic when it came to women as priests and birth control and stuff like that. But as far as progressing at least towards the concept of unity and the concept of one Christianity, he really tried to do that.
He was awesome.
And let's face it, he promoted liberty.
Absolutely.
And that's why
if you want to talk about what the stature of the guy, about the fact that some idiot shot him.
Yeah, and he forgave him.
And he forgave him.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I realize maybe he has to do
that. Yeah, because he's the Pope.
But you know what? That's still... If you shot me, I don't think I'd forgive you.
No, I hear you. But I was thinking when this guy resigned, I'm saying to myself, look at that previous pope. Honestly, someone that even if you're not religious, you got to say to yourself, there's a true man of the cloth.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And here you have this guy. And look.
He had the right idea.
Yeah. I mean, look at this guy. Former Hitler Youth. And I understand. He didn't volunteer for the Hitler Youth.
That doesn't mean anything.
He was kind of indoctrinated into the Hitler Youth.
You're a kid.
Yeah, and he was Austrian or whatever. But as an adult, listen, he really worked hard to shield pedophiles in the church.
Oh, no.
When he was Cardinal Ratzinger, he really, you know, there's clear evidence that he passed pedophiles from one parish to the other. He did the usual. And this came when he was in charge of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, so you got that. So he's retiring. And here's the interesting thing. They've got a couple of guys that they think are potentially in line to become the new Il Papa. And interestingly enough, there's two black guys on the list.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah, but they're saying that this year they're actually part of the front runners.
Of course.
You know, that they're actually...
Look, at some point, John, at some point... at some point they're going to have to start picking somebody who might be reflective of the majority of the church.
Right.
And where the fervor is most.
Yes.
Which right now would be South America and parts of Africa.
Right. And I'm glad you said that, because I actually, believe it or not, you know, I was going to say it's going to be...
white people who believe it were Catholic, I mean, as the case actually with all Christianity,
yeah,
is dwindled, I mean, quite a bit. I mean, like this country is still very religious.
Sure.
But Europe, forget it.
No,
Australia, 50-50.
It's interesting to me.
Canada, not at all.
It's interesting to me that you mentioned that, because I actually agree with you. I think they should get one of the black cardinals in as pope. Now, what's interesting is one of them's from Ghana. His name is Cardinal Peter Turks, and the other one is not from Nigeria. His name is Cardinal Francis Arinze, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, from a purely strategic point of view, you got to vote the guy from Nigeria in. Because he's like 80 years old.
Oh.
So here's what I'm thinking. If you take it like a political race, get him in there while Obama's still president. You got that feel-good thing about a black guy in charge.
Right.
Right? The guy's 80. 4 or 5 years, he'll die.
Yeah.
And then you get another Italian guy in there.
But that's why they won't pick him.
You think?
They'll pick the younger guy because they want stability. They don't want somebody.
But listen, there was a lot of them that didn't like the fact that Pope John Paul became the longest tenured pope, because they elected him young.
Yeah.
And look how long he lasted. They purposely elected this guy Ratzinger because he knew he was old already. I think he was in his late 70s when he got...
Look, I understand that given over time they might get tired of these people or something, but if the smart move is to have a younger guy who you can at least have for 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, so maybe somebody in his 60s or 70s.
I would think.
Yeah, the other I hate saying the other black guy, but the other guy from Ghana I think is 60 or 64. 64.
Yeah, that makes
so that
sense.
Makes more sense. But I mean, if they just want to put the token black guy in, I think they go with the 80-year-old.
Yeah.
By the way, also they said who's in the running but consider a long shot is the American guy, our cardinal here in New York.
Cook.
Cardinal Cook. Yeah. Is that his name? Cook?
Cook? I don't know. I have to admit. What was his name? I forgot.
It's this guy, Dolan. Timothy Dolan?
Yes. That's it.
Yeah. And they're saying that he has an outside shot, but believe it or not, they feel he's too American.
No.
And actually, the thing that we would consider strengths, like a good sense of humor, backslapping.
Yeah, that's a negative.
They don't like that. They don't like
morons.
That. Yeah. But he's well-respected, so supposedly he's in the running as well. But, you know, we'll figure that one out. But all joking aside, do you have any interest in who becomes the next pope, either politically? I know not from a religious angle, but are you interested geopolitically what happens there?
No.
Really? You don't care?
I could care less. I have to be honest. Look, I don't care about it. I don't practice.
No, not as a religion, but I mean.
No, but I mean even just.
Do you think the election affects anything politically, potentially? I mean, like we said, Pope John Paul II was also a political figure.
It depends on. I know, but each person is a man of their times.
Right.
It depends on, like for instance, right now the times are what? Well, the biggest challenge might be trying to make nice with those idiots in the Middle East. I mean, that's about it. What's the challenge? Communism is gone. Nazis are a thing of the past, except for movies.
Right.
I mean, there's really the relationship with the Muslim world.
Right.
Other than that, what else? And poverty. I mean, they're always on about that.
Yeah, they're always on. And they hate capitalism, too.
Yeah.
They're a lot more socialist.
But that's not surprising.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right.
That's not surprising. If you tell people who... You know, in their coming from their mentality, their world, and you say, "Well, here's a system where, well, you accept that there's going to be winners and losers," and then you say, "Well, here's a system where mediocrity is shit,
right?
But those people at the bottom, the poor, the disabled, they'll be taken care of.
And
they'll
right.
They're going to pick that because their thinking is just to be a caring person, a Christian person,
right.
And just to take care of people. Like, you know, they're not looking at the economics or that capitalism allows people to move on. They're not going to get into that. I mean, that's not surprising that they want a more communal,
Right. Well, you know, you're absolutely right. So let's move away from the popes and their role in economics and all that, and let's go to somebody who is affecting economics, especially in this country.
Talk about our own socialist.
Let's talk about our own socialist, President Obama. Boom. Now, you know, he had a lot to say in this State of the Union address, and there's also a lot going on. But first of all, let me back up a little bit. Upcoming sequester. What do you think about this? The potential sequester.
I don't know what to think about. We haven't had that before, have we?
No, Obama's the one who proposed it, and Congress passed it the last time around.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm for it.
Really?
I'm for it.
Definitely,
it's like the fucking doomsday device. I love it.
But that's why I don't like it.
I like it. Take whatever it is straight off the board across everything. You have to do it. No picking, no nothing. And you know what? It's hard choices, but they have to be made. And since people in Congress can't make those choices on their own, those tough choices, have something in there. Because you know what else the sequester does that these dummies don't realize? It takes away accountability from you. So no one can point to you, if you're a congressman.
Right, and say you did this, because you can just say, no, these were forced picks.
Yeah, my hands were tied.
Right.
You could always blame the other guy, but at the end of the day, the debt is reduced.
That's actually why it's bad, because they are there to be responsible.
I agree,
but they are there to make choices, and they're not doing it. And this is a pussy way out of it.
I understand that.
You know, this is just
But would you rather just have spiraling debt?
No. That is horrible. That's why he talked about like some kind of $4 trillion deficit reduction plan for like the next 10 years. I mean, my thing is, like, the tax code has got to be changed. Defense has to take cuts. Medicare and Social Security have to take cuts. And
we have to get rid of Obamacare.
Yeah. The affordable health care. That's a loser.
Yeah, got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But
that's not going to happen. So
the sequester might be the answer, don't you think?
I guess. Yeah.
I know it's tough, but I mean...
No, but I'm not reacting to the toughness. I'm responding to the letting them out of their responsibility. I know it's tough. No matter who's planning.
But maybe we need a round or two of sequestering in order to force them to work together and to actually get something done.
Maybe it'll turn out to be a very negative thing, and it's
short-term medicine.
Exactly. Maybe they'll realize we're going to have to do this because the sequestering is.
Yeah, it's short-term medicine is what it comes down to, right? We may have to do this. That's all there is to it. All right. The other thing I want to talk about is, and folks, if you think we're sounding a little rushed, we are tonight for reasons that we can't get into. But here in our Brooklyn studio, we got to get through this quickly.
Yeah, we have to do it quickly. Phil has given us the booth, has given us the word.
He's running in place.
Yeah.
Doing the hurry up thing.
In fact, we're hurrying so quickly, we're going to stop talking about hurry.
All right, next
topic.
And we'll talk about my itchy asshole later on if we have time. All right. Now, here's another topic, and I want everyone to pay attention to me here. Why, Judah Lariam, why does President Obama, and he reiterated this during his State of the Union speech, why does he continue to support racist anti-minority policies?
I didn't catch that, John. Which ones were those?
And specifically?
Yes, please.
Yeah, he wants to raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour.
Okay, well, that's because people on the left think that actually helps those people.
I know. Holy shit. How often, and I had a Facebook argument with someone saying that, San Francisco has the highest minimum wage in the country, and its unemployment rate is lower than the average in the rest of California. And I said to him, first of all, it's not true. But second of all, I said, if it is true, did you look at the specific group that the minimum wage is supposed to help?
Right.
So in other words, don't take the unemployment rate of bankers. Don't take the unemployment rate of doctors and dentists. Look at who it's supposed to help. So Big Fat John went into the Google visualization tool, which, by the way, if you never get the chance, do it. It's awesome.
Is it in Google Chrome?
Yeah. You can look at it there. Okay. But basically, it has all the public data. And I was able to take unemployment statistics for age groups of 18 to 24-year-olds nationally by state, county, and metropolitan area.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And I was able to correlate it, because you know Big Fat John's a data analyst by trade.
That's right.
I was able to correlate it to minimum wage rates in those states.
Does it tell you how many people are making the minimum wage who are gay in San Francisco?
No, it doesn't.
Sure, it does.
But I broke it down to, by sex and by race.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah. But here's the funny thing. Yeah, San Francisco does have a slightly lower, if you look at it in aggregate.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is if you look at those specific groups that the minimum wage is supposedly helping, which we all know by every politician saying it's supposed to help
people at the bottom.
People at the bottom. Teenagers who are entering the workforce for the first time.
Unskilled labor.
Unskilled labor and minorities.
Right.
That's the big pitch, right?
Right.
When I put in for those groups, what's interesting is, again, almost a 90% correlation between the increased minimum wage rate and unemployment in those groups. So, for example, the lowest minimum wage rate in the country, I believe, is in the state of Wyoming. It's like $5.25 an hour.
Oh, really? It's not Mississippi?
Yeah. No, believe it or not. But unemployment rate for those groups that I just mentioned, way below...
Lower than California.
California.
Well, but that makes perfect sense.
Way below Washington.
Right.
Washington State, which has the highest, among the highest, like at 925, or they're already at the federal minimum level as a state.
Right.
So what's interesting to me here is people don't understand what the law is about.
Right.
They don't understand the effect it has, and they only look at the people that it directly affects.
Right.
So you're saying, oh, that poor person's getting $9 an hour. That's good, right?
Right.
Yeah, but what about the five people that don't have jobs potentially because that minimum wage got jacked up?
Right. The problem with the minimum wage has always been that even in the past, I remember I told a story once on the show that a guy I knew owned a movie theater,
right,
like back in the 80s,
yeah,
who was locally, and he, you know, he talked about, well, the minimum wage is going
right
up. He goes, you know, he goes, last year I hired like six kids to work
right
during summer jobs. It's like ushers, whatever.
Right,
he goes, this summer I'm going to hire two.
Right.
And that's because they raised the minimum
wage. They raised the minimum wage, absolutely.
I understand that those two people are going to be making a little bit more money.
That's right.
But when you factor in the people who aren't going to get hired and the summer help for like kids and the, you know, who want summer jobs, keeps them out of trouble.
Right.
And, like, they're screwed.
Yeah, they are. And thanks to our socialist in chief, it seems like we're going to get that. And by the way, it's not just Obama. It's just about anybody. Cuomo here in New York, Governor Cuomo, is proposing the same thing, an increase in the state minimum wage.
That's going to be any Democrat.
Democrat, any liberal, and they don't realize they are hurting. And what's interesting, you know how the left always accuses the right of being dumbed down and supposedly the intellectuals are all on the left?
Yeah.
Why don't they look at this data and they could figure it out for themselves? It's black and white. It really is.
Yeah.
There's no way that you could tell me that the minimum wage does anything but increase the unemployment rate among those that it's supposed to help.
It only benefits the people who still keep their jobs or get a job.
Yeah, and it benefits unions.
You're going to be making some more money, true.
Right.
But like you said, there are going to be a certain amount of people.
Right, because they don't factor the $0 that the unemployed are getting.
Exactly.
So there's
Of course, then you have to have more government money to support
those
people.
Of course.
Because they're unemployed.
Well, what's interesting is, did you hear the insidious plan Obama also is having, again, under a different name?
This is from last night?
Yeah. Here's the thing. He wants to give away free preschool education. Quality preschool education to any family that makes less than a certain amount of money.
Yeah, for low-income families.
Yeah. And you know what this is, right?
I call it Django Unchained.
Really? Why?
Because that's what the State of the Union is.
Oh, Django Unchained. You fucking guy. You know what's funny?
You have no sense of humor.
I do, but you say shit like that, and I get all the email. You fucking asshole. But anyway, this is the White Riot. No, but here's what I'm saying. You know what this preschool program is going to be? Because most of the people that will qualify for this, I shouldn't say that, but likely are going to be Democrats. This becomes nothing more, in my opinion, than an indoctrination program for all those families to continue to be Democrats. And looking at potential immigration reform, where you're going to have all these immigrants who are going to get fast-tracked to citizenship, who are going to fall under the clutches of the minimum wage and the free preschool.
Yeah.
Shit. We see what it's like when professors and other leftist stand-ins
and
acolytes...
Yeah.
When they grab a hold of a young mind,
right?
We see what happens. They all grow up voting for Obama, and we see how that shit turns out.
Oh, sure. These are all like things that get you like in the
Democratic
the
column.
Thinking of
government
help, and they're helping out. And
but now, if you're a conscious Republican or a conservative or a libertarian, and you say, "Wait, this is bullshit. The minimum wage is bullshit."
Right.
What do you hear? you don't want to help the poor.
Right, you hate the poor.
You're against the working
man. You're against minorities.
And if you say to yourself, I'm against this fucking free preschool, because what you're doing is you're setting up state centers of indoctrination.
Yeah.
Not only for the kids, but for the parents.
Yeah.
What do they tell you? You don't care about children.
Yeah, you're a racist. There's a, yeah, I actually wouldn't phrase it that way about indoctrination, because that makes it sound like...
But you know that's what it is.
Well, I think it definitely gets people accustomed to the idea of government and particular government. Yeah.
Right?
At the taxpayer's expense, yeah.
At the taxpayer expense, and it becomes a right.
Yeah.
A right, not another
entitlement mentality.
Holy shit.
Which we don't need.
That scared the shit out of me when I heard that fucking shit. And let's not forget about the gun control.
Oh, that's awful. That's the one thing I really think, you know, I mean, talk about just trying to cash in, because we've had some horrible incidents, you know, but now they're doing the assault ban. They want to stop.
Did you hear what happened in Missouri?
10 rounds
of
Did
you hear what fucking happened in Missouri?
Yeah.
Now, this is what I hear about liberals all the time. They say, listen, it's just sensible gun control. It's just sensible gun control.
Yeah.
It's not a gun grab. Why? What's the matter with you Second Amendment supporters? Yeah. Are you all paranoid assholes? What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, just because Big Fat John and any other member of the NRA, our good friend Judo Lariem here, security expert who himself has been known to have a permit or two, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. You don't mind my saying that,
no,
do you, Judo Lariem?
No, of course. That's part of
I'm not identifying what you're packing. I'm just saying you're packing.
Please don't. And, okay. And don't print a map saying where I live.
No, I won't. But you are packing. And I don't mean your cock.
It's both.
It's both. I don't know which one is more dangerous, but okay, fair enough. But in Missouri, Democrats have introduced legislation to confiscate firearms.
Right.
Can you believe? Seriously.
Yes.
This is not like paranoid fantasy on the part of gun owners.
Yeah.
This is not libertarians and some conservatives saying, oh, it's a slippery slope argument.
It is.
But what we're saying is, it's happened.
Yeah.
It's happened. Here's the part of the law, Judo Lariem. You tell me, as a gun owner, you tell me how you feel about this. Here's the part of the law in question in Missouri, sponsored by Democrats. Any person who, prior to the effective date of this law, was legally in possession of an assault weapon or large capacity magazine shall have 90 days from such effective date to do any of the following without being subject to prosecution. Okay. One, remove the assault weapon or large capacity magazine from the state of Missouri. In other words, drive it over the border, and make it like somebody else's problem.
Right.
Number two, render the assault weapon permanently inoperable, meaning break it.
Damage it.
Damage it so it can't be used again. Three, surrender the assault weapon or large capacity magazine to the appropriate law enforcement agency for destruction, subject to specific agency regulations. And then finally, unlawful manufacture, import, possession, purchase, sale, or transfer of an assault weapon or large capacity magazine is a C-class felony.
Okay. Well, my take on that is that
they want your guns, brother.
They want my guns, and if they start here, well, who's to say that they won't?
Yeah,
a year if you come up with some other thing for smaller caliber
for
weapons.
Handguns.
Yeah. So,
and by the way, how does this protect against crime?
No, not at all. Jesus Christ!
Did you notice anywhere in this legislation where it says criminal? Rule breaker?
No, it's all directed at people who lawfully own guns.
I saw the word legal owners of guns three or four times in here.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy. It does, and it does nothing about like really dangerous people out
there. Wake up, people. Wake up.
Jesus.
I don't mean to sound like Alex fucking Jones, but wake up. This is happening in front of you. This is legislation in Missouri, a southern state where you think this sort of shit wouldn't happen. I might expect this shit in New York or Massachusetts.
Yeah. I wonder what the C-class felony is, out of curiosity.
Hey, look, anything felony is bad.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, the fact that they're even doing it.
Isn't that fucking ridiculous?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, this is the kind of knee-jerk reaction you're getting because of Sandy Hook and all these horrible, you know, like, I understand these are terrible tragedies, but that doesn't mean you get to target lawful.
Well, apparently it does. Yeah. I mean, I know it shouldn't, but apparently it does.
That's what's wrong with it.
And then you've got that Obama. Well, you remember what Obama's boy Rahm Emanuel said when he was still in the White House. Never let a good emergency go to waste.
Yeah.
Never let a good crisis go to waste. Yeah. And that's what he's doing right here.
Everything's political.
Right? He had the mother and father of that poor girl that was shot in Chicago that was at his inauguration. And then, 3-4 days later, she was shot by gang violence. And I want to ask you a question. aside from using those poor parents as like just excuses for him
pawns.
Pawns. Did anything he propose, would any of that have prevented her death in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely not.
Even if they worked to perfection.
See, and the reason it's stupid is they're just focusing on, well, these are gangs and they use guns.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the fact that there are gangs?
Yeah.
What about the fact that these kids are falling through the cracks of society?
Right.
That they're coming from broken homes.
Right.
And there are no fathers in most of these homes.
Right.
And they're actually joining the gangs because it gives them a sense of belonging.
Right.
It gives them a
good
sense
point.
Of feeling.
Good point.
Okay. And I mean, I've seen that a million times with gang members. I mean, some of them, you know, actually just join because they're assholes and they want to do illegal things. They want a quick, you know, women, money, and, you know, and power, and people are scared.
There you go.
And all that crap. But the reality is, what kind of reaction is that to, well, the gangs, they use guns. So, you know, if we get the guns. Oh, please.
Let's take the guns away from people who have nothing to do with the gangs.
Exactly. People who are protecting their homes and people who are just going target shooting, like whatever.
And if I hear one more asshole tell me, why do you need a semi-automatic weapon or an assault weapon to go hunting?
Oh, please.
Why do I have to hear that?
Right.
Fuck it. I don't want to go hunting with it. I want to shoot people who come through my front door.
Well,
uninvited.
You know what the thing is? Like, neither one of us are hunters. But look, even if that's what you want to do, why should the government be able to say, well, you don't really need that? You know, this is like the mentality of the left also. I mean, it drives me crazy. Even like sometimes like with taxes. Like you see, like even Obama has said this a couple times during his first term. He goes, how much money do you really need? Like once you make a couple of million, like what do you need?
Yeah.
Excuse me. None of your fucking business,
exactly.
Loser.
Exactly.
Okay, you know.
Why don't you worry about how much you need?
Right.
And leave me the fuck alone.
Exactly.
I don't get that. I really don't. That mentality of jealousy.
Yes.
Of fucking inadequacy.
That's what I always say. I always say that this is the mentality of jealous losers.
When I was young, I was jealous of wealth.
Really?
But it wasn't to take the wealth away from the person who was wealthy. I was jealous in the sense that it was inspiration for me to try to acquire that type of wealth.
Right, because I don't come from wealth. And
I don't either.
Neither do you.
Yeah. But if I saw somebody driving a nice car, what did I want to do by the time I was 25? I wanted a sports car.
Exactly.
I worked to get a sports car.
Right.
That's how it works.
See, that's always been one of my biggest gripes at the left. You listen to these people, there's always that element of resentment.
Yeah.
There's always that jealousy. There's always
unacknowledged, by the way.
That's right. And they'll deny it to the day that they die. But the fact is, they're always looking at people who are doing better than them and either resenting it. There's always a reason to take it away from you.
Yeah.
And if you're very wealthy, there's constant narrative of that you must have done something wrong to get it.
Yeah.
That's another thing that they're always on about.
If
nobody who's really done well has made it like legitimately.
Right. It's always because
George Soros or something.
Right. Unless you're somebody that they agree with, right? But you're right. You're absolutely right. Why do we have to why do we have to assume that every wealthy person is in fact a criminal?
But it is also, you know, it's weird in a way. It's, you look at society as, I mean, things that are privacy, you know, and getting the government to leave you alone, like all that is like gone now. Like everybody goes on these like stupid shows. They talk about their personal lives. They talk about who they're sleeping with. They talk about
but
who
they're
money.
It's a choice.
Yeah, but it's very strange that people would just talk about their garbage and their dirty life in front of everyone.
Well,
you and I
have talked about that chick we put on the rotisserie.
On the show?
Yeah.
Well, but that's a rotisserie.
Oh, that's true.
That's like, let's make a deal.
But we talked about that girl whose asshole, she guided her asshole onto my finger.
Yeah, well, you had the dustbuster. But
that's true.
You have to remember, though, this is still not how much I make. And,
you've talked about your taint cream.
Yes, but that was following the rotisserie conversation.
Hypocrite. No, but I hear what you're saying. We've become desensitized to the loss of privacy is what it comes down
to.
Yeah, but also, I understand what you're trying to say.
Willingness to give up their privacy. Like, they don't care.
Yeah, look at Facebook.
Right.
We're all on Facebook. We're all on Twitter. And what do we do 24 hours a day?
Personally, I don't go on.
No, that's your choice.
Much.
That's your choice.
And
but
the stuff I put on it is meaningless.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
tell you anything personal.
Yeah.
And even when people like ask me something, I think it's embarrassing. I type back like, "Go fuck yourself."
Go fuck yourself. By the way, that should become the official motto of the White Riot Show, don't you think?
Well, it is.
Go fuck yourself.
It is. with the picture of my tank.
Oh, one more thing before we leave the Obama thing. Did you notice the other monstrosity he decided that he was proud of? The Violence Against Women's Act was Was it reauthorized?
Yeah. For,
I have to tell you, I thought this was bullshit, and it's something. You're against that law, aren't you?
I have to admit, it's just what? Just sexual assault and...
Well, it reauthorizes...
Against, like, well, domestic violence.
It reauthorizes them...
The problem with those kind of laws, like that kind of thing, it's kind of like the hate crime laws. Like,
of course, they're horrible.
Like, in other words, but what does it really accomplish?
It accomplishes that it gives the government even more reason to fucking prosecute you without legitimate basis.
No, but the problem with it is if you read the punishments that they plan for, like, hate crime laws, those laws are already on the books.
And you they're just already, multiplied.
You can already be prosecuted for murder or attack, assault.
Well, much like the
in
hate
other words,
crimes,
they're really reacting more to the fact that your motivation for committing the crime is well, I'm attacking you because you're different than me.
Well, it gives them another
I'm taking your wallet from you.
It gives them another prosecutorial advantage, which is that if they can't get you for robbery. They'll get you for hate bias. Just like they'll get you, you know, like what was the federal trick they used for years? If somebody got off on a rap like that, they would say, well, if we can't get them for the murder rap, we'll get them for civil rights violations. But it was interesting because I was bitching about this on Twitter during the week and ran across a very interesting girl. Her name is Julie, Julie Borowski. She goes under Libertarian Girl. She does all these little 3-minute videos.
She should call me.
Yeah, I'll turn you on to her. You'd like her. She's about your height. Very cute. But anyway, and she had some great reasons for why she's against the Violence Against Women Act, which, you know, it's rare to see a woman step up. And she put it very clearly. But her main point was, listen, people do this all the time where they name a bill something that you can't possibly be against.
Right.
Like she says, who would be against the Violence Against Women Act? Yeah. Obviously, you must hate women and want to beat them up.
Yeah, you have to be a misogynist.
Or you have to be a misogynist. Or she goes, why don't you call something the Fuzzy Puppy Act because nobody's against fuzzy puppies, you know, and then you can put any kind of shit you want in the bill.
Well, but that's normal in politics.
No, understood.
They're always giving them these.
Understood. You know. But what's interesting about this, she pointed out that, for example, there's nothing in this act that wasn't already on the books in every state. In other words, domestic abuse laws were on, exactly, were on in every already there when it was enacted.
Right.
Right now, even though the focus is on women being abused, statistics are now showing that 40% of all domestic abuse is against men.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I don't know who these pussies are that are letting their women slap them around.
You know what? Well, I remember when I was growing up, like 70s, I got to tell you, I always remember this. Somebody put out a statistic that it was like 98% men on women, and there were like 2% were women on men.
Yeah.
And the men back then were called like every name in the world.
Misogynistic.
You know, but no. The men were getting beat up.
Oh.
The men who were like actually letting
their
women.
They're both facts. Let's face it.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that has actually grown tremendously. Now you have a lot of women and the men just take it.
Yeah. Well, because first of all, I don't think it's, well, there's a lot of reasons for that. But my guess is that first of all, with the laws the way they are, like a woman could slap a man and get away with it.
Right.
A man can't do that. Even in self-defense, he's not going to do it. But what's interesting about it is Julie also pointed out that in these cases, the VAWA costs $660 million. You know, it's not just the laws. It's that they have centers. They have counselors. They have all this. The other thing is the language of domestic abuse is now expanded. And one example she gave was that if you're married to a woman and you called her a cunt, that's domestic abuse.
It's broad.
And you can be prososecuted under this shit.
Yeah, it's broadened out to verbal comments.
Yeah.
Not even like
hurting your feelings physical, is now abuse and violence.
Jeez, could you imagine how I could sue you for the things you say to me on the show?
Fuck you, you cunt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead, sue me now, bitch.
Sue me now, you fag.
But this is the type of nonsense where this country is headed. Can you believe it?
I've been telling you for a while that the country's just drifting.
This is going fucking down the toilet.
Nanny state bullshit. I've been telling you that.
Well, we all know it, but it amazes me that people just look at this and just say to yourself, you know what? We're going to take it. We accept this nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I really don't get it. Anyway, listen, here's another thing. So that's what Obama's been trying to hoist on the country this week, all under, of course, nice language and shit.
Django.
Django and chain.
He rolled into town. Django. He came in and he's got more white guys working for him than the Klan. It's Django. Fucking asshole. You notice how, here's an interesting
What's
thing.
That?
You notice when Republicans are in office, all they talk about, oh, there's not enough diversity in the administration.
He's
got more fucking white guys doing jobs for him than anybody. And the one woman who had a high position is gone, Hillary, and they replaced him with John Kerry, another white woman.
Django. Riding the Amtrak with Joe
Biden. Oh, look, Obama's not stupid. That's why he's got those white guys in there.
Yeah, to tell him what to do. Poor Cosby. I feel sorry for him.
Django.
Oh, by the way, let's talk a little bit about this before I forget. I don't want to gloss over it.
Yes.
Who's this guy, Christopher Dorner? This rogue cop.
He's the rogue cop, Jen.
Holy shit.
He's out of his mind.
First of all, did you notice something about him? His manifesto was all pro-leftist.
Of course it is.
No, but I mean, he praises Obama in it.
Oh, okay.
He praises Joe Biden in it.
Oh, okay.
Why? Now, remember how a couple of weeks ago we talked about how the guy that when Giffords was shot, everybody jumped to assumptions that he was a right winger, that he was a Tea Partier. That he was a Tea Partier. And they blamed Sarah, and then they
on his website,
right? And then they said that Sarah Palin was responsible and drove him crazy because she had those targets on her PAC and all that shit, right? By the way, all of it false. It turns out the guy is not a right winger. He's just an idiot. He's just an asshole. He's just nuts.
He's mentally ill.
Yeah, but he had nothing to do with the Tea Party. Nothing to do with right wing. He wasn't influenced by anything. Of course, there was no retractions on the part of the mainstream media.
Lochner.
Yeah, there was absolutely no retractions or anything like that going on. Right.
No, so that would require honesty.
Right. Why over here is there no mention of the fact that this guy, where by the way he wrote it in his own words, and you see it, that he's a big fan of Obama.
Yeah.
Why isn't Obama coming out to say, I don't care if this guy was wronged, why don't we go get this guy? Now, did you also notice that CNN and other news outlets are treating this guy like some fucking Black Robin Hood?
Yeah.
That he was justified because, like, they treated him wrong?
Yeah, he had a site or something that popped up supporting him.
Yes.
And he had like 20,000 supporters.
Disgusting.
20,000 idiots to support this murdering douchebag who killed two cops and two other people.
What's the difference between this guy and Timothy McVeigh?
Yeah, the only difference is their assumption is that he's been a victim of like racism and conspiracies.
Right.
Whereas the people like Timothy McVeigh are just idiot bigots.
Does that justify murder?
Oh, no.
Even if they fucked him in the ass raw, is that justification for killing four people?
No, he's out of his mind.
And burning houses. Now,
and terrorizing.
So, all right, so we're okay. We agreed on the fact that fuck him. But let me ask you this. Do you think they purposely burned that? Is it another Waco situation with him out there? What do you think?
You mean that they went in and just killed him and burned them up? And
they burned the house down.
It's a good way of shutting people up.
And right before the burning down, they ordered all news copters away from the area.
Oh, I thought they closed the Popeyes. Hey, stop that.
No, that was up in the woods. But seriously, do you think that maybe because the LAPD, look, they have let's be honest. But do you think they set him up or do you think it was just he caught fire?
This is just the end result of you knew it was going to end horribly.
Yeah.
The fact that he got burned up, I mean,
I don't know though.
Really? You're buying into
By the way, I'm not
season?
I don't feel sorry for him that he died. No, I don't I'm, feel I don't no, feel sorry for him that
dead.
They killed him.
No, I'm glad he's
Yeah.
dead.
But the fact that they ordered away the news copters and everything and then the thing catches on fire a little while later and it's like, "Hey, he burned up. We don't know what happened." It might have been a smoke canister.
That could be a coincidence. That could be. I'm not big on conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy, in my opinion. I mean, I understand that it's human nature.
I know, but I don't think they did anything deliberately. I mean, that might have been.
I'd like to think they didn't because the government's getting too big.
For all you know, that they might have just told them, look, get the copters out of here because it's agitating them or something stupid like that.
Right. I don't know. But all right. So he got what he deserved. We're all agreed. And we also, I think both of us agree, Judo Lariam, that anybody that thinks he's a hero or supports him and put up a website and supports a fucking asshole. especially all those commentators on MSNBC, CNN.
Oh, please. They're so stupid.
Fucking douchebags.
And they're so stupid. And the only thing worse than that.
What?
Electric cars. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about electric cars very quickly because we have to wrap
now,
up soon.
Everybody knows that Judah Lariam is in favor of electric cars and solar energy, but as part of a plan for the future to get it, to wean us off oil and nuclear energy and the same old crap that means nothing.
Right. But I guess you'd be against tyrannical midgets issuing edicts that 20% of parking spaces in New York in the future have to be allocated specifically to electric cars.
Right. The moment you go over 19%, you're a douchebag.
Fuck no, Bloomberg no, in the
that,
ass.
No, that, no, that's stupid. But I'm not against having a new direction for energy in this country. We've got to stop sending our money.
I just don't want it coming from the government.
From the Middle East.
If someone can make an electric fucking car.
Like Tesla.
Yeah, but those cars cost like $100,000 each.
John, I understand that. But you know, when the Model T came out, most people couldn't afford it.
But listen, Mike,
you don't look at things that way. It's a beginning.
I understand
that it's too much
money. But I would rather have the market solve it.
Well, no, that's fine.
I agree with you. I'm for what's more efficient.
But there's nothing wrong. I don't mind the government being a little encouraging here to move us in a different direction. Like oil is a loser. You're sending your money to Arabs.
So why isn't it on referendum?
Oh, I have no idea.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's almost like the issue itself is irrelevant. It's why is this fucking asshole deciding what's best for us?
But that's you shouldn't be surprised by
that. I'm not surprised. I guess I'm venting that this fucking cocksucker is doing this again.
This is a guy who's already, in his first term, flushed $525 million down the drain on Solyndra.
On Solyndra, Bloomberg?
No, I'm sorry, Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm talking about
Bloomberg.
I know. But the point is, I don't mind the direction of that we need new energy. I'm not even making an environmental argument. I just think that
fair enough.
At this point, oil, nuclear, coal, these things are old.
Yeah.
And there's a limited supply of stuff. So for the future, it's a good direction. But I agree, I'd rather the market do it. I'd rather companies do it.
All right.
Bloomberg's an idiot because he's already blocked out most of the city just so tourists can walk.
Judah Lariam, I'm sorry to do this to you. We have a lot to talk about, but Phil has given us the wrap-up signal. We're having some issues here in the studio. What do you say we do this again next week?
It sounds good to me. No more hiatus for you, lazy fuck.
So hold on to my cock while we say this. Until next week.
Wait, I can't reach it.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Until next week for Judah Lariam, this is Big Fat John saying peace.
I got a peace.
Peace.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Lariam. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. I've been drinking heavily. Whoa.